Good morning. Since Brian is not in here to start Talk Shop, I guess it will be the Fred Van Vleck show for today.
Good morning. Happy to be here. Not quite sure where Brian's at. I talked to him a second ago out there in the hall, so he must be on his way in here. So we'll see how soon he gets here.
And since he's not here, it looks like you get to do the why do we say that for today.
Yeah, I could figure out the why do you say
here
that.
Here he comes. As soon as I mention that, he hurriedly runs into the studio.
I was feeling up to the challenge of why do you say that today as well.
You are.
Yes, I am. I didn't even look ahead. I figured, you know, usually I ask you that way I don't look like the guy that's on the air trying to figure out what the heck is.
All right. Well, just to let you know, Foster on Tuesday got his second correct one. He's now got a new standard of knowledge.
Well, remember, last time I read it to you, you got it correct, too.
Yeah, well, see, I'm going to retire at one. Perfection is tough to better, right? All right. Are you ready?
No.
Good. Magazine. What is the reason a periodical is called a magazine?
Oh, well, I have no idea. I was going to come up with some clever answer, you know, that, you know, maybe it's related to the magazine for a firearm or something like that, but I highly doubt that.
It's considered a storehouse for numerous articles. The term comes from makazan, the Arabic word for storehouse.
So there you go.
And was originally applied to a place used by the army for storing arms.
Huh. So do I get a 25% on that?
Yeah, you probably get a solid F. Magazine was first used in its present tense, or its sense, in 1731, when the Gentleman's Magazine appeared.
Oh, so the Gentleman's Magazine has been around that long.
See, now that's the part I would have thought you would have nailed. But apparently not, huh?
No. Yeah. Oh, actually, I am almost young enough that I can say, what's a magazine?
Yeah, isn't that frightening, huh?
Oh, it's just, it's crazy. You know,
I'm sure you remember them from your growing up years.
Yeah, I still
see them around.
I have a magazine that comes to my house.
See, it's not Look, it's not Time, it's not U.S. News and World Report.
It's Bronco Driver.
Oh, I was thinking maybe Smithsonian or something like that.
No, I've got an old Bronco.
Okay.
1968 Bronco, so there's a magazine for Bronco enthusiasts out there, so that's my one and only.
I figure, yeah, it's gotten probably very niche-y.
I think so.
Yeah.
You remember the days in the grocery stores when they had these huge magazine racks and you get in front of them, and I mean, sky's the limit. Everything was covered out there. Not anymore. I mean, is there even a grocery magazine rack in the grocery store anymore?
I'm trying to think. I know a couple of them have, but they are maybe 15 feet, 20 feet.
Yeah.
You know, before it was liquor store that had magazines, right?
Right.
And they had gazillion of everything, or newsstands.
Right.
Would have them, and yeah.
Yeah, I remember when I was a kid, I used to go into Arcata Liquors all the time. That's where you would go to the, they had a big magazine rack in there with everything under the sun.
Yeah. Yeah, right next to, like, the New York Times and Wall Street Journal back when they were, you know, it was easier to get copies of that. The print and the Chronicle was delivered in the area.
Right. And the Times Standard was wider than, what is 12 inches now or whatever it is? Print is interesting.
Things have changed.
Yes, they
new
have.
Challenges, et cetera, yes, et cetera.
Have. Yep.
So Mr. Hartley was in on Monday and said that the governor's initial salvos with budget for education at the state level was encouraging.
It is.
Is that a good word that you would use as well?
I would say encouraging. Yeah, he really is working hard to carry on the legacy of Governor Brown and really sticking with the local control funding formula and funding that out. And as long as the revenues stay strong with the state, which they appear to be.
Are they statewide? All I keep hearing is businesses leaving the state because of the climate that we're in. For business.
I think there's a lot of that. Our tax is very reliant upon the upper class, and so that's the concern with business leaving. And so as long as the upper class are doing well, the economy remains strong.
And not going to Arizona or Texas or Delaware or other places that have
no state income tax.
No income tax. Right. Yeah. I mean, right. it's Well, if you were in that spot and you could, that'd be kind of tough, right? Yeah, I mean, even if you spent 49% of your year here and 50% or 51% there, you would then be a Blankian instead of Californian. I mean, to me, that would be tough. But if you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars, it'd be tough not to.
Well, here's the disconnect from my perspective. The disconnect is arguably, if not, certainly in the top five highest tax states in the nation. And the disconnect is between the services received and the highest tax. And what the problem is in California, and I don't think anyone would argue this, is the disconnect between the number of taxpayers and the number of tax receivers.
Yeah, wasn't it last year 50%, over half are now receiving benefits?
Right.
And there's less than half paying into the system?
Right, right. And so hence the high tax rate. And, you know, for a long time I struggled understanding why such a high tax rate, because you and I are in the same boat, middle class, and, you know, obviously we're payers. And so why are we paying so much in taxes, yet our roads look like they do? Our education is funded in the 42nd or so in the nation, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you could argue, well, we spend a lot on prisons. Well, yeah, we do spend
not lately
more on prisons than probably, I think we're in the top five as far as our prison spending. But if you look
you're
at
saying
that,
the operating cost of prisons, not construction
correct.
Of or maybe
correct.
The physicalness.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so you look at that, but that's such a small fraction of our budget as compared to, you know, the elephant in the room is education, and that's the one that's the largest component of
our
budget.
Well, and social services.
State. Yes, yes.
I mean, put those two together. And
right. But education, I mean.
And healthcare. I mean, those are the three that, you know, the state's doing a lot.
Right. But yeah. About 40% of the state's budget is education.
Yeah. What I think is challenging for a lot of us, as long as we're waxing philosophical for another 30 seconds, is sales tax from gas doesn't go to roads.
Right.
Okay. Lottery dollars aren't adding to education. They're supplanting. Some of those types of things, and I suppose you could talk about the retirement system as being one of those huge fixed cost things that are out there also.
Pension is a huge cost out there, and, it, and it's a huge escalating cost.
It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:23. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Super Duper. Fred, considering what is out there, you know, you get your budget from the state, and it's more driven by state, but how much you get, it's kind of like a per unit or per diem based on attendance. When you're looking at the population trends of Humboldt County or the North Coast, what do you see? Is it flat? Do you see, I would think that you guys are probably monitoring things like the Fish Project and the Wind Turbine Project and any of the other things that are being kicked around to see if it's going to increase population, increase employment for those of childbearing years or not.
Well, you think of Eureka City Schools and put it in perspective, the peak of our enrollment was in the 90s. And with that peak, we had about 8,000 students between the high school and the elementary students, elementary schools and middle schools, of course. And now we're about 4,000 students, just under 4,000 students. So we're half the enrollment we once were. And that's directly tied to population in the county, which has
and
declined.
And trends of the population.
And then there's the other piece is the age of the children. And then there's also some tied to charter schools opening up and different things like that. But the population and the workforce in the county has had a direct impact because our enrollment has certainly dropped. So you just look more recently. So between 2000 and around 2012, we had an average decline of 160 students per year. So that's when I came to the district, was in 2012, and I'm not saying this is because of me, but since then, we have basically been flat enrollment.
Now, the phrase I think we are using outside, hit rock bottom.
There you go. We did. That's exactly what we did. We hit rock bottom. And so since 2012, you know, last year was our biggest decline. We lost about 90 students. This year, we're back up about 40 students. And so we're kind of in that cyclical of the bottom of the population as far as the age of the students. The birth rate is down in the U.S. I think that's nothing that's new, and I think the same is here. You know, there's been that argument that there's been less babies being born than people passing on, and that's shown that that's inaccurate in Humboldt County because they're almost identical, the number of people who passed away in
our birth rates. It's probably more of a delayed having families.
Right. Well, there's certainly that for many.
You know, there's that swoop as that transition happens.
And, you know, teen pregnancy is at an all-time low. Which is interesting as well. It's
well, that one's not a bad thing. Huh?
No, that's fantastic. I mean, planning out when you're going to have children and being mature enough to have that happen is a very important thing to having a productive society. But you know, birth trends are really interesting. And the thing that's really difficult is you go back to the funding piece, and we are funded per pupil, and as I said earlier, we're down in the 40s when you rank us with other states. And the other thing that's really difficult for us is how the state funds keeping up our buildings and doing the maintenance. And the problem with that is they fund for everyday education, but they rely on the local communities to fund the modernization and new construction of buildings.
Bonds.
And so, yep, there you go. And so when you have a building that wears out, or you have a infrastructure that wears out, Sacramento says generally, well, that's nice, unless you can prove this is an emergency. If it's an emergency, we'll help you out. Or modernization dollars will help you out, but we believe the lion's share is a responsibility of your local community.
Well, that's interesting because you get into a depressed area and the food services and things of that nature go up significantly. And then there's monies available for blighted areas or for those that are economically strapped. But yet if you get one such as ours where the economy is flat-ish, okay, and we're not going up, we're not going down, to throw an additional tax burden, you would think that there would be recognition that if a community isn't growing, okay, that those are the ones that need the assistance also. Is this poor representation or understanding from, was it the Department of Education, chancellors, I don't know who,
well,
where
there
the money
you go.
Comes from.
There you go again, Brian, trying to make common sense out of what happens in Sacramento.
Yeah, but you would think, right, wouldn't you, that would be looked at? So if a population was rapidly growing, okay, the growth is going to be covering not only the new stuff, but the maintenance stuff. Because there's more coming in than what you were expected, and there's more year over year. Okay, fine. You know, then you carve off a percentage of that to handle the maintenance. But for one that's stagnant or declining, you can't go to that community and float bonds. I mean, you know, trying to keep things together.
Even if you're growing, you can't maintain it because you have to remember schools, 80 to 85% of our budget is spent on people. And so that leaves somewhere between 15 and 20% for an average school district left to keep the lights on, to buy the instructional materials, to take the trash out, to do all those other things and do the routine repair. You know, routine repair is, you know, you have a little leak in a roof and you've got to fix it, or you know, you have
paint,
exactly, seal coat the asphalt, those sorts of things. But when you have to replace the asphalt, you have to replace the wall, you have to replace the roof, that's when you start getting into that next step. And even in a growing district, what the expectation is if you put in a new community is that you do what's called a Melarus. And a Melarus is a tax on that specific community to build the school in that area. And then also one of the things that's really interesting is developer fees. Those school districts do developer fees to the developers, and we haven't collected developer fees up here in decades.
Well, it's tough enough as it is.
We actually did a survey, and the developer fees that we are going to projected to collect in the next year was around $20,000. It's not worth the hassle.
Yeah, it's 8:30.
Locally owned businesses help our community maintain a distinct personality and to help increase tourism because we don't look like every other place. Small businesses also provide the ability to try on and try out items before you buy and get real expertise, saving you both time and money. When you shop, shop local.
Our award-winning camping department has the gear you need no matter what kind of camping you do. Come in and experience the many benefits of shopping with Pacific Outfitters.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. Happy morning, everybody. We've got Fred with us.
It's a happy morning because you have me with you?
Happy.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And we know the definition of where magazine came from.
Yeah, we do, yes.
Uh-huh. Not soon to be forgotten.
What was it again?
Gentleman's Magazine, yes. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDAC, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, and Murphy's Markets. Fred, as we look out at the horizon, you know, you guys have got some of the structures are new-ish. You know, you've got the ag building that's going up. You've got
gym will be brand new.
Well, have you broken anything yet?
Groundbreaking ceremony February 7th at noon.
Okay, so we're three weeks away.
Correct.
Before you start to hear noise.
Right.
That's cool stuff. But government stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Social sector.
A little bit down on Broadway.
Yep.
Going on. Okay.
Yep.
We've seen, you know, that big project for the vets on 4th Street.
Between 4th and 5th, yep.
Yeah, okay. I mean, so there's some areas that are seeing reinvestment.
Murmurings of the development out there in Cutton around Redwood Fields.
Right. and out on the Spit. I mean, so there's some areas that are starting to happen. McKinleyville's had a lot of growth. But when you look at the employment and you look at the socio trends, you're not seeing, it's not the youngers that are coming in, it's the olders that are coming in as the youngers rotate out. So for folks like you that are dependent on that 18 to 40-year-old segment, are you bullish on the future? I mean, when you're projecting 5 years, what does 5 years from now look like for the educational system? Are consolidation further?
Well, we continue to have record low kindergarten enrollment until last year. So each year, this is year 8 for me in the district, and each one of those years has consistently been a lower kinder enrollment until last year. We finally had a bump up in our kinder enrollment. But obviously that bump up in our kinder enrollment is nowhere near where our kinder enrollment was 8 years ago.
Yeah, it doesn't backfill
and so,
at all. Yeah.
Correct. And so when you're looking at our future and you're looking at what our kinder enrollment looks like, that's a concern for us. So where I said that we increased enrollment, where our increased enrollment is coming is at the middle schools and high schools. And what's happened is the reputation of the middle schools and high schools have really rebounded. And a lot of folks who were going out and sending their children to other school districts, just to drive
ones.
Right. They're coming back to the middle schools and the high schools. And so that is where our attendance rebound has been coming from. It's not coming from a change in our population.
So we're being cannibalistic.
Yeah, exactly.
So to speak.
Exactly. Yeah. And however, our kinder continues to be that record low enrollment. And so that's our future, and that's what we're going to look like in the future. And so we're looking at a continued downturn in enrollment. You look countywide at the enrollment, we went down last year. And I think the trend is going to continue there. I don't think we've hit rock bottom. I think that we've slowed tremendously.
Countywide.
I think that we've slowed tremendously in the drop in enrollment. But I think, obviously the housing units are still there. People are still living in the houses, but there are less people with children living in those houses.
The nest is smaller.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct.
So as you see it, you know, when you talk with the other folks also, is there any kind of an effort to try to stimulate employment in those lower sectors? I know the labor folks, you know, there's a dearth. You can't find people to do a lot of the work that's out there. It would seem to me like there would be a grand opportunity for community-based recruitment for some of the youngers, for the trades, for some of the research stuff, you know, kind of get that ball rolling, because what we've got here is so unique from everywhere else that we could get people to relocate here. Are you hearing that there's impediments that are out there, you know, for people relocating or expanding into our area that would help to backfill in those family age groups?
So I'm going to take the first part of your question first, and that is the trades. And what we've done as a school district is we've made a tremendous investment in the trades. You mentioned earlier the ag building. You know, the ag building is a full-blown ag shop that has all the ag mechanics, which includes the welding, the fabrication that goes along with that, the small engines that go along with that. One of the last programs in the state. There's hardly any programs around anymore that have the auto shop. We still have the auto shop program and an auto shop teacher in there teaching the program.
A lot of the hands-on stuff.
Same thing with the wood shop. And what I think a lot of schools have missed out on the opportunity is it's college, college, college. And I don't agree that it's college, college, college. I think college is great for a lot of people. I think that we have set too high of an expectation as a society that in order to be successful, you have to go to college. I don't, and here I am an educator. Shoot, I have my doctorate. It's not that I'm anti-college. I'm not that at all. And I think college is very important for a large segment of our society. But I also think that a large segment of our society really need to consider the trades. And when we get into our secondary schools, our high schools, and our middle schools to a certain extent as well, because we have an engineering program on the Zane campus. We have an ag program on the Winship campus where we're starting to talk about those trades and how students can make a living using their hands and make a really good living at that, because there's a comfortable living that can be made. And so if we can provide more students who are ready for an education beyond high school, and when I say trades, that doesn't mean your education stops when you get out of high school. Either you go to work and you get a further education in the workforce if you're working for a dealership trying to figure out how to work on cars. You
or
go
apprentices.
Exactly. Yeah. Or you go into a lineman school for apprentice work, or you go into apprentice work in one of the trades with a building or something like that. So hopefully that's a spark, because the next thing, you have to have more housing in order to bring more people in. And so the next spark is, how do you develop the housing? And we know there's a shortage. Otherwise, the rent wouldn't be as high as it is.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Are you a business owner looking for financial or technical assistance? An entrepreneur looking to start a new business? The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission and the Small Business Development Center want to help. With business loans, classes, and one-on-one consulting, our goal is your success. We've been helping Humboldt County businesses for over 30 years. Visit us at 520 East.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time, 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck. So, Fred, as you look at some of the challenges that are out there that are facing communities such as Eureka, such as what we find in Humboldt County and other communities that are small, what kind of effort is being made to try to do that stuff? You were talking about the educational stuff, okay, partnering with the local blue-collar employers, I guess might be the simplest way to perceive it. But again, you have to have the bonds that are floated by the community to have the buildings to be able to be built to house these kids to go through the program.
Right.
Okay, that's dandy.
I want to put this plug in there. We applied for a grant. And so on that ag building, there was a grant that paid for half of it, but the other half is still going to the bond.
So as you look at some of these trends, and I know you're not concerned about legacy or anything like that yet, but you are certainly looking at the viability, economic and cultural viability of our area. What do you see? Is there a linchpin, or is this going to be little by little? Is there somebody out there that could be a mentor for some of the smaller rural areas like we are, that you know, you and Chris hold hands, run down, and you know, talk to somebody or sit at somebody's knee for a couple of weeks and go, okay, now we get it. And you know, what is there that's out there other than just kind of getting very frustrated that nothing is changing?
Well, I think there's a couple things to really consider. Anytime you have an economy that's based on the social sector, you have a problem. And that's what we have up here in Humboldt County right now, is our economy truly is largely reliant upon the social sector. And that's not the basis for a strong economy locally. And so anything we can do to bring in the entrepreneurship and encourage that, some of the programs you know, that the county office is doing to encourage the entrepreneurship of young folks is great. Then the other thing we need to do is continue to meet with business people, because we've heard time and time again, and as educators, we need to do a better job of this. They don't really care how much the kid knows when they graduate. They want them to have the soft skills. They want them to at least be able to show up to work on time. They want them to be able to not be on their cell phone when they shouldn't be on their cell phone. Just those really simple things that have been an evolving thing in our economy.
Devolving.
Our society. Exactly. Yeah. And you know what? We battle this all the time, and what the cell phone has done to our brains, as far as our attention spans, as far as how long can you go without looking at your cell phone. It's a necessary technology, but it's turned into something that is just a beast. You talk about giving up our right to freedom. Holy smokes, we have everything we do tracked. If our founding fathers had any clue what we would do to ourselves with cell phones, I think that they would fall off their rocker. It's just, holy smokes. Everything we do is tracked. And if you everywhere we go is tracked. And it's just amazing to me what that's happened. And so some of the things that I think we need to do a better job in education is creating those soft skills for the employability of some of these folks coming out of school, so they're more employable. And then we also need to make sure that we pay attention to the trades and preparing students, because I think we're overinflating the value of a college degree. You need to have a college degree if you want to be a teacher. You need to have a college degree if you want to be an engineer. You need to have a college degree for a lot of things. You don't need to have a college degree if you're going to be a secretary. You don't need to have a college degree if you're going to go into some of the trades like heating, mechanical, some of those other things. And so we need to really talk and think about that.
Thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
See everybody tomorrow.